Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call tonight by calling toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just pray that you would just bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. Help us to be a witness and testimony for thee. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ and point people to their searching to Christ. Encourage believers in their walk with you. Bless the program for your glory tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and depending on where you're at here in northeastern Ohio, you're probably looking out at somewhat of a winter wonderland. It's the old song, you know, beginning to look a lot like Christmas in terms of a white Christmas, I guess, because we were in church this morning, and I noticed during the message that I could see out the window on the side of the room where we're at, and I saw these flakes starting to come down more and more, and I not in a position where I could actually see the ground, but I could tell they were coming down more and more, and they were going, well, they must have been started somewhere a little after 11, and by the time we finished with the church service, the ground was well covered with snow, and it was still coming down. Drove home. The roads were pretty sloppy driving home, and of course, all the way down our road into our driveway, snow covered, and bushes were pushed down because of the snow. It was a fairly thick coating, at least a couple of inches, and that's in Richfield. And it's been snowing off and on all evening as well. Even coming up here, though, I got to the radio station, not near as much up here in Independence. There's a little bit of snow here and there, but nothing like what we had. But still, if you're out and about, just to keep an eye on the roads and watch out for areas where, like bridges and things, where it gets colder, because we're right at that crazy sort of temperature thing where, depending on where you're at, it may be just a degree or two above freezing or a degree or two below freezing or right at freezing. But it's enough, especially if you're in an area that's kind of windy or something, you might get some freezing on bridges and overpasses and things. So just keep an eye on the road if you're out and about. But generally speaking, the roads were much clearer here this evening coming up to the radio station than they were when I was out and about earlier. So, but if you're home and you don't have to go out, that's the best thing. And I hope you'll listen to us, and it will be a blessing to you in some way. Again, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out a bit more information about me there. You can link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, from that as well. And in addition to that, you can read some articles and see some links to some booklets that I've put together over the years. And the latest article that I have on there linked is Does the Bible Teach Communism? Which is an article that I just posted up just at the end of October. So got another one in the works yet, and we'll get that one posted up when that gets ready. But there's some others there. And also there are past programs there. You can listen to past programs there, all at livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, I wanted to mention something else before we get going here. Appreciate the program that we had this past Friday. If you're not aware, we're also on the air on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock every Friday afternoon right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I had William Federer, and he wrote a book, Socialism, and it's basically follows socialism from Plato to the present. And on our program Friday, we were talking about the Pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving. You say, well, what does that have to do with socialism? Well, he brings it out in his book dealing with socialism. The Pilgrims were the first group to actually try to put socialism in practice, at least the first group that we know of, because they nearly died out as a result of it. It could be some other groups may have tried it, and they did die out, so we just don't know. But prior to that, socialism, going all the way back to Plato, had been basically theoretical, kind of dreamed up, and everybody worked out in theory and came out with all the reasons why it should work. But when the Pilgrims tried to put it in practice, well, didn't work out so well. So we talked about that and talked about the reasons why socialism doesn't work. I mention this because coming up next week, not this coming week, but the following week, we have Thanksgiving coming up. And because the studios are going to be closed down on the Friday after Thanksgiving, I am not going to be able to be in to do a live program on Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so what we're going to do, we've had some people say that they wish they could have heard the program with William Federer on socialism and the Pilgrims, and his book about socialism. We're going to replay part of that program. In fact, the bulk of that program we're going to be replaying on Friday, November 26th at 1:30 in the afternoon here on 1220. So I'll have some other material for the beginning of the program, because I had some announcements and stuff that were time kind of dated for last weekend. So we'll kind of change that up a little bit, but to basically have the interview with William Federer about his book Socialism from Plato to the present, and a special look at the Pilgrims their ill-fated experience with socialism, which fortunately they abandoned. Then, of course, this coming Friday, though, on the 19th, this is National Hospice Month, and Mike Tripoldi will be with us from Grace Hospice in Uniontown. So he'll be on with us this coming Friday at 1:30. We'll be talking about hospice and hospice care. So I hope if you have an interest in that, you'll tune in for that. All right. Well, wanted to get to a couple of things, and then we'll be getting to our phones here. Saw something interesting here the other day that I wanted to make mention, because it's not been picked up a whole lot in the news. Some media outlets have talked about it. Others have kind of avoided it for obvious reasons. You're not going to see this probably on ABC, NBC, CBS, or CNN or somebody like that. But there was an information request, a federal information request made on behalf of a group called the Informed Consent Action Network. This FOIA request, as they call it, was made to the CDC. And the request asked for several things. They asked for any documented case of an individual who, number one, never received a COVID-19 vaccine, and number two, was infected with COVID once, recovered, and then later became infected again, and number three, transmitted the SARS-CoV-2, that's the COVID virus, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19, and transmitted SARS-CoV-2 to another person when infected. And this is the request that they made, and they finally got a response back from the CDC. And this is under the Freedom of Information Act, and this was made on September 2nd, 2021. And this is a quote from the response from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It said, "Documents reflecting any documented case of an individual who, number one, never received a COVID-19 vaccine, Number two was infected with COVID-19 once, recovered, and then later became infected again. And number three, transmitted SARS-CoV-2 to another person when reinfected. A search of our records failed to reveal any documents pertaining to your request. The CDC Emergency Operations Center, EOC, conveyed that this information is not collected. Now, think about this for a minute. The Centers for Disease Control, CDC, full title, Center for Disease Control and Prevention and Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. That's actually the full name of the CDC. They received this request. They searched their records. They said they failed to find any documents pertaining to the request. Now, we need to be careful with this. It does not say that people that have had COVID, such as myself, and recovered, it doesn't say that they cannot or do not get reinfected and then transmit the virus to somebody else when they're reinfected. It doesn't say that. It simply says they don't have any records revealing that happening. And the reason why they don't have any records revealing that happening, well, this is the takeaway line. The CDC Emergency Operations Center conveyed that this information is not collected. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you think that information on natural immunity and the resistance of people that have had COVID-19 and recovered from it, wouldn't you think that the CDC of all agencies would be at least slightly curious to know if they ever get reinfected and potentially can pass that on to somebody else and infect somebody else? And yet, this FOIA Act revealed the CDC doesn't bother collecting any information that might prove that. The reason is, my view is the CDC is afraid of what they'll get if they did collect this type of information. I believe that they would find that it's extremely rare, if not virtually non-existent, for somebody that's had COVID to get reinfected and transmit the coronavirus to somebody else. And the reason they don't want that information available is because they don't want to have to tell people you don't need a vaccine if you've had COVID and recovered, because you have natural immunity, which 123 separate studies, including one right here at the Cleveland Clinic, have all shown that people with natural immunity have exactly that. Immunity. You don't need a vaccine. Your immunity is superior to those who are vaccinated. And the indication from other studies around the world is essentially that the likelihood of you getting reinfected is virtually zero. And the CDC doesn't want that information out there because they want to lump COVID survivors into the ranks of the general population of the unvaccinated and try to force people who've had COVID to get vaccinated when they don't need it. Why would they be forcing you to get vaccinated when you don't need it, unless there's some kind of, quid pro quo of a financial sort going on here? I'm not saying there is, but I know my Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, and we've certainly seen a lot of evil that's resulted from the love of money on Dr. Fauci's part and some of these other people in the government, well, as well as Pfizer and Moderna and Big Pharma. And I'm not saying everybody's innocent and pure on this, but it makes you kind of go, when the CDC will not even collect information on people who have had COVID and at what rate, if any, get reinfected. Curious, isn't it? Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to get to our phone calls here, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We've got Terry who's waiting for us. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
It's good, interesting what you just had to say.
You know, and another thing, too, and it's thought about this, a number of countries are willing to admit that people who've had COVID and survived it and have natural immunity don't need to be vaccinated. In fact, some countries that have vaccine mandates and papers, if you're a doctor, or if you have medical proof that you've survived COVID, it counts as if you've been vaccinated. They don't class you with the unvaccinated.
You know, if the snowbirds in Canada go to the United States, they have to stay there, I think, for 11 days, and they have to pay for a COVID test before they come back.
Right.
It could cost up to almost $300.
Well, somebody's making money off from this, aren't they?
Oh, a lot of money.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, it's you look at Florida right now, the state of Florida, you know, they're not getting people vaccinated, and they say, "Oh, it's terrible." They're not getting people. Well, their rate of coronavirus or of COVID-19 down there is dropping dramatically. So, at any rate, it's we don't need to do the whole show on COVID again. Yeah. But no, I thought that was very interesting, seeing how the CDC here in our country has chosen to not collect data that shows something other than what they want to show.
I was going to bring up Hebrews chapter 10.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 10?
Yeah.
All right. As you're turning there, I was going to say, you know, it would be like looking out at a bunch of people and saying, there's nobody here with brown hair because we've decided not to count anybody that's here with brown hair. It's ridiculous. That's basically what they're doing. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll get into the Bible here. I said my piece on that, I guess. But Hebrews chapter 10, what part of the chapter?
Well, actually, the whole chapter is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was just actually happened to be staring at, I know, a scripture that we've talked about quite a bit over the years. And it says that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin.
Right, right. And in fact, let's see here. Yeah, I was going to see if we wanted to go ahead of that a little bit here. But yeah, I think if we start right there in verse 26 is good.
Yeah, and then it says, but a certain fearful looking judgment, a fiery indignation shall devour the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is interesting. He that despises Moses' law without mercy under two or three witnesses, like they died without mercy.
Right, right.
Because they rejected the truth.
Yeah, and the consequences, of course, in many cases of violating the law that God gave Moses was a capital punishment for many of the offenses.
Right, and the same thing, too. People that have heard the truth and reject the truth.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I went over to the Epistle of John, chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
verse 9.
Right.
It says here, he says that he's in the light and hates his brother and is in darkness even now. That's talking about the someone that says they're a believer, but they're not a believer. Because if they're a believer, they wouldn't hate their brother.
Right. That was Gospel of John, chapter 2. You said.
Oh, first Epistle of John.
Okay. Yeah. That I was going to say that didn't match up there. First John. I'm sorry. First John. Let me turn over there, and I'm getting the wrong way here. So let's go the other direction for First John, and chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe you said.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're right. When we look at what they're saying here, if we 1 John chapter 2, and he's talking about the believers as well, And we jump in here actually in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then, of course, he talks in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's verse 1. So we're talking about dealing with our sin. And then you went into chapter 2 and verse 9, after this discussion of sin and how it starts in chapter 2 with our advocate, which is Jesus Christ, who stands before us, when our sin is brought before God. In fact, there's a great illustration of that in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 when the devil goes before God and accuses Job worshiping God just because he takes care of him, or, you know, that sort of thing. And we know that the other fallen angels, they accuse us before God of the sins that we've committed, and that's why we need an advocate, which is Jesus Christ. But after all that discussion, he comes down here let me get into verse number 8 again. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Verse 9, as you quote, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. And it's just like the picture that he talks about in the previous chapter, where he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, if we're not in the light, if we're in the darkness, we're not walking with Christ. And
chapter 3, verse 9,
mm-hmm.
says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Right. And
so that's talking about a true brother, a true believer.
Yeah, well, and let me qualify that a little bit, because you'll run into some people. I ran into somebody at the Summit County Fair a couple of years ago who assured me that he does not sin. And, you know, I shared there in 1 John where it says I read verse 8, but verse 10, where he says in chapter 1, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then it talks about the advocate in chapter 2, verse 1. But I said, we sin, and we have to keep those confessed before God. And he said, no, I chose not to sin. I don't sin. He got progressively more worked up until he was like, his nose was practically in my face, spitting in my face. His face is beet red. You know, veins are standing out on his forehead. His eyes are bulging out. He's going, I don't sin. He's getting more strident. His wife took him away, pulled him back a little bit before he started sinning, I guess. But what happened here, and when you look in 1 John chapter 3, where you were quoting here, in this passage here, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And we have these verses here in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And it gives at first glance the idea that if you're truly saved, you won't sin. Mm-hmm. But we know that we do sin. Paul very clearly talked about the struggle that every believer that's honest with himself knows that we go through, when he said in Romans chapter 6, where he talked about the sin that was in his flesh, and how he said that he did things that he knew that he shouldn't do and didn't do things that he knew that he should do, and he said it was because of the sin that was in his flesh. So when we come to Christ, what people need to understand is we're a three-part being created in the image of God. We know that from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. God said, let us create man in our image. And so he created Adam from the dust of the earth. There was the body. That's the first part of Adam's being. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit, second part of Adam's being. And the Bible says he became a living soul. That's the third part. He's a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, just like all of us are. The physical body, we understand that. The soul would be our mind, our intellect, our emotion, our will, and then, of course, the spirit. Well, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God said they would die immediately. And, of course, people read that and they say, well, he lived for hundreds of years after that. How did he die immediately? Well, he immediately died spiritually because death is a separation. They became separated, cut off from God. And so now, because we have a sin nature, our spirit is a dead spirit. It's cut off. It's separated from God. When we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, believing, you know, that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins, God creates within us a new spirit that's alive. And that new spirit is the spirit that's created by God in us that's holy and without sin. And our new spirit cannot sin. Our new spirit cannot do these things that is talked about here in 1 John chapter 3, but unfortunately, we're stuck in this body with the sin nature, and so sometimes we don't listen to the new spirit. Instead, we do what Paul said. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, your servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And he talks about obeying the flesh rather than the spirit, and this is the dilemma that he's in, because we're going back and forth between these things. And he goes, I want to get into chapter 7 here real quick in Romans. We were starting chapter 6, and chapter 7 is actually where he gets into the discussion about chapter 7, verse 20. I'm hurrying because the break is coming up. Now, if I do that, I would not, as no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that's a key to understanding 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, where he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Our spirit cannot sin, but our flesh does. Paul clearly says this. It's not I that do it, but this is Romans 7, verse 20. Not I that do it, he says, but sin that dwelleth in me. And
verse 5, it says, in chapter 3 of 1 John,
mm-hmm.
says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
Right.
Him is no sin.
Right, in Christ, no sin.
Right.
And that's what I was getting at. He takes away our sin. He gives us this new spirit that's created within us. And in that spirit, in fact, he says here, continuing on in Romans 7, verse 20, I'm sorry, verse 21, if I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the spirit, the new spirit that he has that's without sin. And after that new spirit that's the inward man, he delights in the law of God. He wants to do what God wants him to do. He doesn't want to do what God doesn't want him to do. But then he says in verse 23, I see another law warring in my members, or another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we're right now caught between the spirit that cannot sin and the flesh that wants to sin constantly. And it's a battle, isn't it?
Yeah, in 1 John, in the second chapter of 1 John, it says that for he is our propitiation for our sin.
Right, and that's why it also starts out in 1 John 2, verse 1, that he's the advocate, because when we do fall prey to the flesh and sin, he's our advocate. Hey, Terry, if you can hold on, we got a break coming up in about 5 seconds, so stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Also, a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find a link to our home church there, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and certainly that's the main sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can find or call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery, I believe. Give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and mention that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program, and remember the phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We were talking with Terry. Terry had called in, and we were looking at some passages in, we had started in Hebrews, gone to 1 John, looking at a couple things in Romans, and Terry, are you still with us?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Well, we were talking about the idea of sin, and I wanted to kind of recoup a little bit before we get it back into it here. In, of course, in 1 John,
we have some interesting discussions about sin and the relationship that we as believers have to sin. The first relationship, of course, I guess if you want to call it a relationship, is there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, where he says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's a good relationship to have, isn't it?
All sin,
exactly. We had an interesting discussion about this at church today. We were talking about how many people limit God because in their human understanding, they have difficulty comprehending who God is and the nature of God. And for instance, we think of God as being in the timeline like we are. In fact, we had a joke where we said, "Yeah, I'm a time traveler. I come from the past." Well, that's nothing unusual, is it? Because we all come from the past. And I was saying that how we as human beings, our only experience that we know is we come from the past, we exist in the present, and we're headed toward the future. That's all we know. We don't go about this differently. We come from the past, we're in the present, and we're headed to the future. That's what we know. That's all we understand. God is not subject to that. And this is a hard thing for people to understand. God is outside of time. He transcends both time and space. And so time is something that's essentially meaningless to God. A lot of people try to say, well, 1,000 years in heaven is a day in heaven is like 1,000 years on earth. And they have that in their mind that that's what it is. Well, it's not what it says. It says 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years, which means time's meaningless. You know, whether it's 1,000 years or a day, it's meaningless. 1,000 years on earth is like a day in heaven, and a day in heaven's or 1,000 years in heaven is like a day on earth. It's just meaningless. But as far as God is concerned, He's outside of time. He created time in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, that's where time began. And so God exists outside of time, and because He's outside of time, He sees the past, He sees the present, and He sees the future. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you and I hadn't even been created yet, God already knew the future when He would create us. He already knew the sins that we would commit because He can see the future. The future is just as real to Him as the present is to us right now. And the past is just as real to Him as the present is right now. And so when Jesus died on the cross, your sins and my sins, all of them were paid for. And all we have to do is accept that payment when we put our faith in Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ, now, here's where people say, well, wait a minute, how can He pay for sins you haven't committed yet? They understand you can pay, your sins up to the time you trusted Christ as your Savior can be paid for, but how can you pay for sins you haven't committed yet? And my question is always, how many sins had you committed when Jesus died on the cross? None.
And he already paid the sins for the whole world.
Right, exactly. And it's just up to us whether or not we accept that payment.
Right, the payment has already been done.
Yeah. So all of our sin is paid for. All of our sin that we've committed in the past when we trust Christ as our Savior is paid for. All of the sin from that moment on throughout our life is paid for already. Well, how can He pay for things you haven't done yet? Well, you hadn't done any of those things when He died on the cross because you weren't even created yet. They were all future when Christ died on the cross. And so from our limited perspective, to limit God and say, well, He can't have paid for our future sins that are future to us, even though our past sins were future to Him when Jesus died on the cross, you can get kind of confused trying to go around about it too much. But the fact of the matter is, all sin was paid for, past, present, and future sin that you and I have committed. And when we put our faith in Christ and trust Him as our Savior, and the blood of Christ cleanses, the Bible says, us from all sin. Not past sin, all sin. But the problem is,
we know from Scripture that we do sin after we get saved, right?
Yes.
In fact, he says, we have an advocate. Yeah, and that's why we have an advocate, because here's some devil that tries to tempt you to do something wrong, and when he's successful in getting us to commit some sin, you can bet he goes to God and says, here's that Pastor Al supposed to be your servant, and look what he did. He violated your law, and you said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I demand justice. And then Jesus speaks up and says, hey, wait a minute. See that blood on the altar? That blood has cleansed him from all sin. That sin is covered by the blood. And the Father says, all right, next case. Because it's covered.
Yeah, it's done. It's finished. Like it says here, too, and we have the power. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
Yeah, and in that part, you know, when we confess our sins, you know, when we come to Christ as Savior, obviously I didn't know when I put my faith in Christ, I didn't know the sins I was going to commit. And I certainly didn't know all the sins that I had already committed. But I did confess, yes, I am a sinner. I have a sin nature, and I deserve the wages of sin, which is death, not merely physical death, but the second death, the death of the soul being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. I deserve that because I am a sinner. I sin because I'm a sinner, and I deserve the wages of sin, which is death. And when I confessed that to the Lord and believed and said, but I believe that you paid for my sin, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for my sin, then the blood of Christ was applied to my account, and his blood cleansed me from all sin. And that was the sins that I had already committed, and it was the sins that I would commit in the future. They were all paid for. And this is why we know that our security is in Christ, not in ourself. And that's an amazing truth that the Bible gives us there. But we still struggle with sin, don't we? Because we have a sin nature that's in the flesh. We still have this old flesh which has not yet been changed. And that's what we were looking at in Romans chapter 7, where Paul talked about this body of death, the sin that dwelled in his flesh, sometimes taking his mind captive. And then as you brought out in 1 John, we saw there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And you say, well, how can that be? How can we have both at the same time? Well, that's because the new spirit that's created within us, when we put our faith in Christ, our dead spirit is made alive in Christ. And we become literally a new creature in Christ. In fact, let me just go over here real quick to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5 here, I believe. And, I'm having trouble being able to see my Bible to see what I'm reading here tonight. Here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then I like this, what he says, starting in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that Christ was in the world, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And it's an amazing thing when you look at this, and let me just read down through the end of the chapter here, two more verses. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And then verse 21, this is what I wanted to get to. For he hath made him, meaning God hath made Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what a wonderful promise, isn't it, that we're made the righteousness of God in Christ. Isn't that amazing?
In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, whosoever calls, all we have to do is for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right, exactly. And of course, that's the idea there is we put our faith in Christ, because there's a great statement that comes down in, let's see, we're there in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, where it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so that's why we need to go out and proclaim the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
For the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah, because people aren't going to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved if they haven't heard about him. Because they got to hear. Faith cometh by hearing there in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so they're not going to call on somebody they've not believed on. And they're not going to believe in somebody they haven't heard. And they're not going to hear unless somebody goes and proclaims the word of God to them.
And we need to season it with salt, too.
Right, right. And have compassion.
Right, for them. Somebody sent me a book not too long ago called "For Effectively for the Law."
Exactly, and it's a very good book. It helps
right here beside me all the time.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, tying in with what we were talking about earlier, see, when we become a new creature in Christ, well, the flesh is still the same. That's not going to change until the first resurrection. And the first resurrection, the rapture is a part of the first resurrection. And when we're caught up to be with the Lord, the Bible says that this mortal puts on immortality there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This mortal puts on immortality. This corruption puts on incorruption. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says we're all changed. And so this body that we have right now that Paul lamented in Romans chapter 7 as having that sin nature, the sin that was in the flesh that sometimes took his mind captive, this body will be changed into a sin-free, purified body, a body with no sin nature, and will be in that body like Christ, like the resurrected Christ, a body of flesh and bone. And we will live, you know, with Christ throughout eternity in that new body. And that's an exciting thing. But in the meanwhile, we're still tied. You know, remember the cartoons where the guy would, the cartoon character would want to do something, and a little angelic figure of himself in white with a halo would appear on one shoulder saying, no, you don't want to do that. That wouldn't be right. That's not the right thing to do. And then a little devil-like version of himself would appear on his other shoulder, all in red with a pointy tail and everything and horns, and going, oh, no, you know you want to do it. Go ahead and do it. And he would be looking between the two figures on either shoulder and to see which one would have the better argument. And that's really kind of what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. He said, with the inward man, meaning in the spirit, that new spirit that was created without sin that cannot sin, he wanted to do the things of God. But with the flesh, he wanted to do the things of the world, and there was a war pulling on his soul to make the decision, am I going to follow the spirit that follows after the things of God, or am I going to follow the flesh that follows after the things of the world? And he said, sometimes the flesh takes my mind captive. It's a sin, not my sin, but the sin that's in my flesh. And
when I first started calling in, the first time I called in, I talked about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, but the gift of God.
Right.
Not of works, lest any man shall boast.
Right. And that's
what I did.
Oh, go ahead.
Three years ago when I first started calling in, I read a book called Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Charles Swindoll, and it's saved. I came to the understanding knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by grace are we saved.
Right. And then if you look at that same passage, not only by grace are you saved, but look what it says, and not by works, lest any man should boast, but look at what it says in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, meaning we didn't do it. He did it, didn't he?
He did it.
We're his workmanship.
Right. And nobody can come to the Father but by him.
Right. And so we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Well, who did the creating? He did.
Right.
We didn't save ourselves in that sense. I know we had to put our faith in Christ, but when we did that, it's God that worked the work of salvation in us. And it's God that forgave us of our sins, and it's God that keeps us saved. You know, you got people who try to teach you got to keep yourself saved. No, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, not by works that we've done, but by what Christ has done when he shed his blood on the cross and died for us.
A lot of people take that out of context.
Yeah.
You know, they say you have to work for your, that scripture to say you have to work for your salvation, but that's not what that means.
Well, and it plainly says, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it does address works there at the end of verse 10, where he says, "Now we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So before we were ever created, God had a plan for us. He had things that he wanted you and I to accomplish, things that he wanted us to do. And have you ever watched somebody work in a workshop making some kind of a handmade tool? You know, where they have something that they need a tool to do certain things. You know, it's today, you know, people go to the hardware store, you know, they buy a hoe, they buy an axe, they buy a shovel or a saw or a hammer or whatever. But oftentimes people would take things that they had and they would put together something and make a tool of some sort that they needed. But when they design that tool, and even when you look at something as simple as the design of a shovel or an axe or something like that, there was thought that went into that. And there was a plan that when that tool was created, that tool would accomplish certain things. If you created an axe or made an axe, for instance, and designed it and everything, you didn't create it to dig holes to put fence posts in, did you? You made the shovel with that in mind, and if you tried to use the shovel to chop down a tree, you would have problems, wouldn't you? And so the shovel was created with certain things in mind, and you and I were created with certain plan in mind. God had works that he wants us to do, and so when we get saved, God has a plan for us, and it's up to us to be submissive to God's will that we can fulfill the plan. But fulfilling God's plan in our life, doing the good works, doesn't get us saved or keep us saved. It just puts us in obedience to Christ, obedience to God.
There's so many people out there, they've heard the truth, but they reject the truth.
Yeah.
Like in Hebrews chapter 10 when we first started off.
Yeah, and in fact, let's go back there, because there's a very good point that needs to be addressed there in Hebrews chapter 10, and it gets overlooked. In Hebrews chapter 10, where he says, starting in verse 26, Hebrews 10, verse 26, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." A lot of people that you share the gospel with do not believe it when you share it with them, right?
Right.
I mean, they just don't believe it. They just think, that's a nice story. Yeah, if it works for you, that's fine. Or some people just think it's ridiculous. There's scoffers, there's mockers, there's some people who are just, I don't know, how can that work? But they don't really believe it. But this is addressing somebody here who says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth. Now, it doesn't say this person is saved. It just says they received
knowledge of the truth. This is corresponds to Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, where it says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame." And in this case here again, this is not talking about somebody who's saved. In both cases, Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10, we're talking about the unsaved person whom the Spirit of God has moved upon their heart, and they have been enlightened. They've tasted of the heavenly gift in the sense that God has opened their understanding. God has given them the understanding, the ability to know what the truth is. Because remember, we're fighting, when we share the gospel with people, we're fighting the fact that the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritually understood. And see, the natural man just can't understand those things because he doesn't have the Spirit of Christ in him. And as a consequence, he can't understand it. And the Calvinists get around that with a false teaching that says, well, God saves them. Now they're saved, and they can understand the gospel, and they can confess their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Well, that's kind of a ridiculous way to put it. But what happens is God enlightens the heart of the unsaved person to where they now taste of the heavenly gift. They now have an understanding of the truth. And if they reject that truth and say, I don't want it, they can't get saved, can they? But they now know what the wages of sin is death means. And that's all they have, is a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation. Hey, we're out of time. It doesn't stop there. You can put your faith in Christ and you can be saved today. No need to be in fear. Put your faith in Christ. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.